This is the Afternoon Magazine on AM 580. I'm Celeste Quinn. The fourth issue of the University of Illinois Literary Journal, Ninth Letter, is just out. The latest issue contains fiction, nonfiction, poetry, illustrations, and photography. It features the work of more than two dozen contributors. The publication of the fall-winter 2005 issue coincides with some great news for the journal. It's won a number of honors, among them being named Best New Literary Journal by the Council of Editors of Learned Journals. And joining me to talk about the latest issue and the attention and accolades the journal is getting, its editor, Jody Stanley. Thanks for coming in this afternoon.
Thanks, Celeste.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
To you and all the people who work on this, this is a huge collaborative effort.
It is. It's the most true definition of a team effort, I think, that I've ever been involved in. So congratulations should go out to everyone that's involved.
Very good. Tell us about the cover.
The cover, my favorite one so far of all four issues. This cover actually incorporates elements from every single piece that's in here, both text elements and visual elements. So we have pictures and illustrations and little spots that come from all of the stories and essays and art features in here. And then we have lines from all of the stories, essays, and poems as well.
It reminds me, the way it looks, it reminds me at once of, you know, those little magnets.
That's what you're supposed to be reminded of, yes.
That are words that you string together to make sentences. Maybe if you're lucky, poetry on the refrigerator. And, you know, there are fragments, as you said, of the pieces within the journal on the cover. And I think another interesting thing about the cover is it says to me, you know, like those magnets, you can move them around.
Right.
So there it is. Oh, now it's changed. Mm-hmm. And sentence, the poem, is new.
Right. A theme that is running through this issue a little bit is just the consideration of language and its changeability, its mutability, and how different people, different readers and artists interpret language, even interpret the same words differently, and they mean different things to different people. And so, of course, we're all fascinated with that and with what you can do with words and images, because images are the same thing, that symbols mean different things to different people. So the whole magnetic poetry, I think, is actually mentioned in one of our art features in a conversation between two artists that we have in here. And that was sort of a jumping-off point, I think, for the designers in terms of coming up with this cover.
Yeah. Now, one of the pieces, speaking of language, of visuals in terms of words and images, one of the pieces in this edition is ancient and new. It's a new translation of an ancient epic poem. Tell us about this.
This was a really fascinating and at times frustrating project for us. We've worked very long and hard with the translator on getting this this special feature put together in the right way. It's a new translation of an ancient Ugaritic text that was originally discovered, I believe, in 1928 in Syria. And it was carved on three stone tablets in a cuneiform alphabet that is one of the earliest known forms of alphabet. And up until this point, it has only been translated for scholarly efforts and biblical studies, associations with biblical studies. And the translator that did this translation, Ben Bedard, felt that what was missing in those translations was an attention to the true context of the original drafting of this poem, which was as poetry, as storytelling, for entertainment, for an audience. And so he did a translation that he felt would address that in a language that would more represent what the original author had intended. And so we took that translation, which is lovely, and we took his fine essay about it, and we made it into a booklet that we tried very hard to mimic as close as possible the original reading experience of holding that stone tablet. We have a photographic representation on the cover of this booklet of the original tablet that the poem was on, and it reads, the tablet flips vertically to read like the original tablet mm-hmm. would. And I think it came out pretty well. It's a lovely object, so I hope he's happy with
it. Yeah. Well, it's a great combination of text and texture.
Yes, and that's, I think, the original reading experience, I would imagine, of this tablet was a very tactile one, holding a stone tablet with words carved into it. And, of course, we couldn't carve the translation on a piece mm-hmm. of stone and put it in the magazine, although if we could have, I'm sure we would have.
If anybody could have done it, you guys could have done it.
So we tried to do something that would get that feeling across as much as possible.
And that texture really comes through in the photograph that is the cover of the poem. Can you tell us a little bit about what the poem is about?
It's about, it's an epic story of King Carrot, I believe it's pronounced King K-R-T, and there's war. He finds a wife, and then he loses a wife, and then there's more war, and there are feasts, and it's very fragmented because there was so much ruin on the tablets when they were found that a lot of the poem is missing. So, and we tried to recreate that ruin visually in the text by leaving blank space, leaving white space, and positioning the words to show where the ruin was on the tablets. So the story itself is fragmented in that way, which lends an interesting layer to it that, of course, wasn't intended by the original author, the original scribe. But it's an epic story like so many epic stories of that time, in which kings are fighting one another and stealing each other's wives and eating each other's food and then coming together and having sons and so on and so forth.
Mm. What else would you like to mention before we run out of time in terms of what is contained in Ninth Letter this time out?
Oh, we have some really wonderful stuff in here, and I'm very proud in this issue to have such a wide variety of writers. And here we have stuff by award-winning writers like Dana Johnson and Floyd Skloot, alongside first publications for a few writers. Jeremy Huggins and Alan Rossi are two writers who are having their first publications appear in this issue, and we also have some terrific poems by Chicago area writer Shirley Stevenson, and some great poems by David Kirby and Terry Hummer. So there's a lot of great stuff in here.
Yeah. There's a nonfiction essay from Jim Kaler.
That's right.
Day and Tonight.
That's right. And we just had our publication party on Thursday of last week, and Jim gave a very wonderful and funny and interesting slideshow and lecture based on this essay, which is about this, about the sky, about the elements of the sky, and how one as a layperson can look at the elements of the sky and what you can really see if you concentrate.
Yeah. Jim's an astronomer and the author of many books, and here again his talent for writing and teaching comes through.
He's someone,
in a different way, though.
Yeah, in a different way. And I mean, I think that's one thing that Ninth Letter strives to do here locally, is to reach out to as many non-creative writers, so-called, as we can, people who are talented writers but don't necessarily publish in the field of creative writing. And we ask them to bring their areas of interest into our world. And so we're hoping to broaden our audience that way. And Jim did a wonderful job. He did a wonderful job in the essay and also in the reading.
Yeah. Day and Tonight, that brings me to ask about a feature that's been part of the Ninth Letter all along. It's in the back of the book where the contributors are, the contributors' notes. You ask them a question, usually, and
yes.
then they respond, and the response is below a little biographical
right.
sketch of the contributor. And what did you ask this time out?
We simply asked, are you a day person or a night person? And I found this to be a very successful question because that as simple as it is, and some people answered simply, oh, I'm a night person or I'm a day person. But other people took that because they're writers and they have such great imaginations as a jumping off point and wrote these wonderful little snippets giving us some insight into their personality and lives. And the contributor's note section in most magazines is simply a bio section. You find out where they've published, where they live.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to know a little bit more about our writers, and we think our readers do too. So
yeah.
we try to ask questions that will give us a little insight.
It's a lot of fun. It's a fun feature. And that's been part of it all along, hasn't it?
Yes, it has from the very beginning.
Yeah. I think the first one was, the question was, what's on your desk?
The first one was nine things on your desk.
Nine things on your desk.
And then the second one actually was when we did the trading card cover, that the cover with the author's photos that you could tear off and make into trading cards. And in the back, to correspond with that, we asked for their statistics, where they lived, what books they'd published, but also some other more interesting and esoteric questions.
Where will people find this? What newsstands can you go to
around town? You can, right now, at this very minute, you can get it at the Illini Union Bookstore. You can order it on our website at www.ninthletter.com. And in the next couple of days, you'll also be able to get it at Borders and at Pages for All Ages.
Okay, very good. And you can subscribe to this as well,
Yes, you can. Then you can subscribe online. You can get all the information for subscribing or submitting. If you're a writer and interested in submitting your work, all that information is on our website as well.
Very good. Jody, thank you very much.
Thank you, Celeste.
Jody Stanley, editor of Ninth Letter, the fourth issue of the University of Illinois Literary Journal. Ninth Letter is just out.